6 o'clock, and we are on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are on the Gemara. We had a contradiction. The contradiction was our Mishnah said, we look at the time of death. Is this woman a Tzaris Erva or not? Even if she had been a Tzaris Erva, but then the Erva died or got divorced, and this woman is no longer a Tzaris Erva, she's eligible for Yibum. Because we don't care about her history. We only look at the time of the brother's death, of her husband's death. Was she at that point a Tzaris Erva or not? The Mishnah in the third Perek said that the only way a woman is not a Tzaris Erva is if she never, it seems to the Mishnah, she never was a Tzaris Erva during any time during the marriage. Meaning, Reuben had married Shimon's daughter, had divorced Shimon's daughter before he married the second wife. Therefore, that second wife is not a Tzaris Erva, because never was she a Tzaris Erva. But had she been a Tzaris Erva at any point during the marriage, let's say it this way. The inference from the Mishnah in the third Perek seems to be that had she been a Tzaris Erva at any point during the marriage, she would be considered a Tzaris Erva, even though at the time of the death of the brother, she's no longer a Tzaris Erva. So it's a contradiction. Do we look at the history of this woman that she was ever a Tzaris Erva? Or do we look at the point of death, and we decide based on that? So the Gemara had Birmi had answered, Tavra Misha Shanazu, Loi Shanazu. So we are up to Rav Amar, where to find that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines above the Mishnah. Last word on the line. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. 9 lines before the Mishnah. Rav Amar. Rav gives a different teretz. La'ilam chatanu. There is no argument. And really, it's like our Mishnah, that you go by the time of death. And the Mishnah there did not mean to exclude a woman that was in a Tzaris Erva during the time of her marriage. The Mishnah gave an example of a non-Tzaris Erva, and it picked an example that once you know our Mishnah is not necessary to say. That's called a Zuv Ein Tzarich Lei Mezuktani. Not only in the case of our Mishnah, she's not a Tzaris Erva, I look at the time of death, and for sure in a case when she was never a Tzaris Erva. So the truth is, the Mishnah in the third Perek could have said the case of our Mishnah. Sometimes Mishnah is right. She's not a Tzaris Erva if she's not a Tzaris Erva at the time of death, and for sure if she was never a Tzaris Erva. So it's not necessary. It's a Zuv Ein Tzarich Lei Mezuv. This, and for sure this. Not necessary to say, and the Mishnah sometimes says it anyway. So Rava would rather learn that way than make it a machloikas tanoim. So to Rava, he doesn't entertain that we should look at the history of this woman if she was a Tzaris Erva. He says, we only go by the time of death. The inference in that Mishnah, Rava says, don't take it because the Mishnah is a continuation of our Mishnah. And the Mishnah is saying, we look at the time of the death, and for sure if she was never a Tzaris Erva. It's really not a chiddush over there. It's superfluous to the point that we don't need it. We would figure it out on our own. But sometimes the Mishnah tells it to us. Rashi. There's no Rashi. There is a Rashi. Zoom. The Masnis in the Hoch of the Kanas will be saved Girish Muteris. The Mishnah over here. I'm sorry, we did that yesterday. That's in the Gemara before. He married her and then he divorced her Materis because it's funny and based on Mita and his Garsha. The Ein Tzarach Lai Mezuh, there's really no need to say the case of the third Perik, the Gimu Achim, the Girish Lubsev Kanas, where he divorced her and then married the other woman. Meaning, basically, what Rav is saying is that the Mishnah threw in a case that's not necessary under the rule that sometimes the Mishnah does that. It will say a bigger Chiddush and for sure the smaller Chiddush. We look at the time of the death, and for sure if she never was a Tzaris Erva. As Rabbi Yirmi understood it, as a contradiction, and therefore he made a machloikas tanoim out of it. The Mishnah says, V'chol sheyecholu l'moyin. The Mishnah says, any lady that has the ability to do miyan, okay? Let us set up the case. Reuven's married to two women. One of them is a ktana, is an erva. She's Shimon's daughter, but she's 11. And Reuven's married to a different wife, right? Now, she didn't do Mian. She did, at the time of Reuven's death, Reuven was married to two wives. One was Shimon's daughter, an 11-year-old, rabbinically, and one was a different wife. So the Mishnah says, since she didn't do Miyan yet, we can't allow Yibum because it looks like a Tzaras Erva, but we require Chalitza because biblically speaking, he's not married to Shimon's daughter. So therefore the Mishnah says, Chol ha-yechayla l'moyim v'loy miyana, any woman that has the ability to, had the ability to do Miyan and didn't do it, so Tzaras v'chaletzes v'loy misavemes. So the Mishnah said, she needs Chalitza, but we don't allow Yibum, because it looks like a Tzaras Erva. That's what the Mishnah said. Frek the Gemara v'tamay and hashta v'tisyabim. Let her do it now. She can do it after Reuven dies. She can retroactively annul the marriage to Reuven. She can do Mia at any point. So, she didn't do Mia yet. But if she does, she was never married to Reuven. If she was never married to Reuven, then the Tzara can get Yibum. So why don't we suggest that this woman do Mia now, and therefore be able to marry the Tzara. He's be able to do the Mian of the, to the Tzara. That is the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara, Dr. Rashi, v'tamon ha'erva hashta, let the erva do Mian now. The timer, she should say, he'avshi b'kedushin shekachuni imi v'achi l'bali ha'meis. I don't want the kedushin, the rabbinic kedushin, that my mother or brother accept me to my husband who died. V'takru kedushin rishaynim, and she uproots the original kedushin, but the siabim tzarasa and her tzara can have yibum. So the Gemara's answer: Lema Masai leilu Rav Aishia. Let us say that this is a proof to Rav Aishia. The Amar Rav Aishia mamenes l'mamoroi ve'ena mamenes l'sikasoi. Rav Aishia says there is no mian posthumously. A woman cannot be mamayan in her husband's marriage if her husband died. If Reuven died and left over a daughter that's 11. The Chazal did not allow her to retroactively annul the marriage. That, you see that from the Mishnah. Because since the Mishnah does not suggest that she do Mian, I mean, obviously the Mishnah seems to think it's not a solution. Right? There's a Raya to Rav Aishia who says that the concept of Mian is to a marriage. Now, it could happen to the Yavam if he did Mimer. We discussed Mimer earlier this week. The Chazal instituted a rabbinic kedushin for a Yavam. So if a Yavam would go, let's say Reuven died and left over an 11-year-old girl, not his daughter, and one of the brothers went and did this rabbinic kedushin, she can walk out of that rabbinic kedushin because she's an 11-year-old, but she's not annulling her original marriage, she's annulling her mimer that she received from the Yavam. But Einam HaMenes L'Sikasai, she cannot remove the bond because you can't annul a marriage after the husband has passed away. That Yuchayri you see from the Mishnah. Because since the Mishnah does not offer the option of her walking out of the original marriage and allowing her Tzara to have Yibum, is a Raya that Yibum Miyun is no longer a possibility. Rashi, the Ma'anis L'Mamaroi, Hazit Nam L'Kamam B'Perik B'Shamai, U'Beisil Oymen, the Perik is called B'Shamai. It says over there, B'Sil Oymen B'Baal U'Beyavam. She can do Miyun to her husband and to a Yavam. Now, Rav Aishi explains that only L'Mamaroi who the Mamenes. She can do Miyun to the Rabbinic Kedushin. Shem Asa HaYavam Maimer B'Yavam Ketana. If the Yavam made a Maimer to a young Yavama, U'Miyun Abay, and she walked out, Mafkia Miyun as a Maimer. This rabbinic kedushin that the Yavam did can be removed by her annulling it. The Chazra Lezika Levada, and she returns to the original bond of the, because she was married to the deceased brother. The Chaletzas, and she would get Chalitza. If there's no other wife there. The Ava Gav the Doyle Shasa Bamaimer Vilerat Zelichnais. Kaimelum Beperik of Gamliel Tzicha Get Lamamore the Chalitza Lezikasai. Even though in the fifth parak we will learn, in Meretz Hashem, that a regular girl, over 12, who, her husband died, and her Yavam did Mimer, and then he changed his mind, he has to give her a divorce for her rabbinic kedushin, a rabbinic divorce, and then no longer can do Yibum, has to do Chalitza. Right? But this Ketana doesn't have to have a get for the Mimer. Hachamiyun akala mamaroi. Meaning, she is under 12, so just like when she was married, she could walk out of the marriage, now that the Yavam made a rabbinic marriage, right, again, he gave her a mimer, she can walk out of the rabbinic marriage. Right? But loy boy a get, and she doesn't need a get. So basically, Rav Eishe said, that which Beis Hillel said, that a Yavama can walk out and do mian on her Yavam, doesn't mean she can walk out of her original marriage. Once the husband dies, the concept of mian no longer exists. You can't annul a marriage that doesn't exist anymore. The husband died. Right? But what she could do is, if the Yavam gave mimer, so he designated her rabbinically that he's going to do Yibum, she can walk out of that relationship and now get Chalitza. But she's still married to Reuven. L'chayra, our Mishnah proves that. Because our Mishnah says, Reuven died, he was married to Shimon's daughter, the Ktana. Right? And we say that Shimon has to do Chalitza to the Tzara, he can't do Yibum because it's Tzara's Erva. Let her walk out of the original marriage, and it won't be Tzara's Erva. It will be that they were never married. The answer is, it's a proof to Rav Eishe that one can't annul a marriage once the husband has passed away. That's what the Gemara wants to answer, say. Zuck the Gemara like, it's no proof, because Tzara's Erva Shiny. Really, she could annul the original marriage. A girl can annul a marriage to her husband even though her husband's dead. Meaning the husband married her rabbinically, he died, she can say, I'm out, and it's as if she were never married to him. But over here, because it looks at the time of death like she's a Tzara's Erva, the Rabbanan stepped in and said, even if she does Mian, we're not going to allow the Yavam to marry her Tzara. Even though really, he was never married to the Ktana, she annulled the marriage, but it looks like a Tzara's Erva. The Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Mina Babal Muteres La'aviv. A girl that does Mian to a husband can marry the husband's father. She was never married to the husband. She annulled the marriage. Mina B'yavam Asur B'aviv. But let's say the husband died, and now she does Mian after the husband died. We won't let her marry the father, because it looks like Tzara's Erva. Alma Mishas Nefilik Nirus Kekalasai. That means, at the time of death, she looked like the father's daughter-in-law. She was Reuven's wife. In people's minds, they don't grasp annulling a marriage after the husband's death. In their mind, she was married to Reuven. And therefore, if we allow the father to marry her, he'd be marrying, in people's minds, his daughter-in-law. So therefore, we say, she could annul the marriage, and really, technically, she was never married to Reuven, but there's a Maris Ayin here. People don't understand it that way. So we have to treat it as if it's a daughter-in-law, rabbinically. Same thing would happen here. If Reuven died and had a daughter that's a Ktana married to Shimon, I'm sorry, Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven rabbinically. Even if Shimon's daughter would do Mian, and really, technically speaking, was never married to Reuven, we wouldn't allow Shimon to do Yibum to the Tzara. Because in people's eyes, this is a Tzara's Erva. Because at the time of death, she was married to Reuven. So the Havamina of the Gemara was to prove Rav Eishe right, that you can't annul a marriage posthumously. And the answer is, really you could. But it won't help by Yibum, because to people, it'll look like a Tzara's Erva. The difference would be, let's say Shimon would live with this girl, I'm sorry, it's his daughter. Let's say Shimon would live with the Tzara's Erva, with the Tzara. Would he be violating, which Rabbanon would he be violating? Is he violating marrying a rabbinic Tzara's Erva, which is what we thought? Or is he violating the fact that people think she's a rabbinic Tzara's Erva, which is a lesser violation? The Havamina was that she remains a Tzara's Erva rabbinically, because there's no way to annul a marriage after the husband dies. And the Teretz is she can annul the marriage after the husband died. She's never married to her husband, but it looks like a Tzara's Erva. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Tzara's Erva, I'm sorry, I didn't do the Ema Menesu Sukkos, right? Lachin Nisur and Rishaynim, this is Rav Eishe, she cannot uproot the original marriage, Lafkia Zika Yibum Velatzis Velay Chalitza, to remove the Zika of Yibum to be able to go out without Chalitza. Lachinami Gabi Erva, Le'okar Le'mion Dahashnil Nisur and Kamoi. We're saying now that her Mion now would not uproot the original marriage, the Mishri Tzarasa to permit her Tzara. The answer is Tzara's Erva Shani. Rabbonu and Gazru Shloy Timon Lihum et Tzarasa. To Gzeirid Rabbanon, not to allow her to do Mian, the Lizauzlu B'Tzara Serva, Dilma Asi L'Mishri, because people won't understand and they'll think it's a tzaris erva and they'll say, oh, tzaris erva is permissible. If a woman walks out of her husband, she can marry her father-in-law because it was never her father-in-law. Now, Krasel and Israel, she uprooted her marriage. We look at it as an out-of-wedlock relationship with the son. Since she walked out, she annulled the marriage, so it was never a relationship of marriage. It was a relationship out of marriage. It's like a son would have had a relationship with a woman. The father can marry her unless it was a marriage. And once she annuls it, it's not a marriage. But what happens if her original husband died? And now she's walking out of the Zika. Even though she has uprooted the original marriage, we would ask her to her father. We look at the time of death and we say, it looked like a daughter-in-law. It looks like a real marriage. The daughter got bound to the yavam, right? And now, v'hutzrucha l'moyen boy, that's what the Bach adds, and she had to do mir and machmas kedusha rishon, nirim nesuim gemurim, the mehevi eishes hameis, v'tarasa tzaras habas. It looks like a marriage, it looks like tzaras habas. V'sharas lei, if you permit it, asi l'mishri tzaras habas ba'oma. They'll come and be matur a regular tzaras habas. So it's very interesting. Because the bottom line is she's usher in both cases, but I think the difference would be in the following case. What would be if Reuven died, right, and he had children? So there's no Yibum at all. And then he had two wives, one was a Gdaila, one was a Ktana, he had children. And then she did Mion in the original marriage. Now, according to Ravishia, it would be a non-starter. You cannot do Mion in the original marriage. According to our Gemara, it's only in a place of Yibum that we say we don't allow Yibum, Miyun, in an original marriage. Because it looks like she was married to the first one because we have a bond to the Yavam. And because we have a bond to the Yavam, in people's eyes it looks like she was married to the first husband. But what would be if Reuven died and he had children from a different woman and there would be no Yibum? I think that according to our Gemara, not like Rav Eshia, she would be able to marry the guy's father, because nobody looks at it then as a real marriage. Meaning, it's the fact that there's a yavam involved that makes people view it as a real marriage with the first brother. And therefore, if she does miyun now, we won't let her marry the father. If she does miyun now, we don't change tzaras erva, because the yibum factor creates... The yibum factor creates that situation where it looks like she was married to the first husband. Had there not been a Yibum situation, I think that according to the second shot in the Gemara, she'd be able to be Mamayan in the original marriage and marry the guy's father or whatever it is, because she was never married to Reuven. It's only in the case of Yibum. Since when Reuven died, we say, you need Chalitza from the brother. You are married to Reuven. We don't allow her to uproot Reuven's marriage because of Gzeira. That's what I think the difference would be between the two answers. Dr. Mishnah Weiter. Sheis Arayas Chamuras Meilu. There are six Arayas that are stricter than the 15 we listed in the first Mishnah. The nation is Suvas Lacherim. They can never be married to the deceased person's, to the Yavam's brother. Meaning, whoever died would not be a brother. There would be no case of Yibum. Because it would be impossible for Reuven to marry this woman, and it should be one of the six Erevites to Shimon. Because if Shimon is an Erevite to this lady, so was Reuven. Meaning, unlike the 15 cases where it's possible that Reuven had a legal marriage, and Shimon is an Erevite to this woman, she's an Erevite to him. In these six cases, if it's an Erevite to Shimon, it was an Erevite to Reuven, and the Kedushin didn't work. And if the Kedushin didn't work, it was impossible that Reuven was married to her. So you'd never have a case of Yibum. And if you wouldn't have a case of Yibum, Tzareseya Mutaris. Tzareis Erev is only Mutar. She's married to a brother. It's only Aser if she's married to a brother. But let's say two strangers. Let's say a stranger married, let's say, put the first case. Right. Let's take the case. Reuven's father was married to a woman. Right. Now, Reuven's father was married to a woman, and Reuven's father divorced her. And then a stranger married her. Then a stranger married her. And he had another wife. And then that stranger would die. Reuven is not usher to the tzara. It's not Yibum. It's a stranger's wife. Tzara's erev is only because it's a brother's wife. And in these six ervas, you will never have a case of brother's wife. It's impossible to have a brother's wife that's one of these six ervas. Because a brother wouldn't be able to marry her legally or validly. It wouldn't even be valid. And therefore, you would never have this woman following Leibum. She would be married to a stranger. And there's no Isser Tzaras Erva when the woman is married to a stranger. So Sheis Arayas Chamuras Me'elu, the nation is Suas La'cherim. Because they're not married to brothers, they can only be married to strangers. And therefore, Tzareseya Mutaris, there is no Isser of Tzara. And these are the six. Imai, a mother. Eishes Aviv, father's wife, who is not his mother. Achais Aviv, father's sister. So if it's an Erevah to Shimon, it was an Erevah to Reuven, because it's Reuven's father's sister as well, because Reuven and Shimon are paternal brothers. Achais Emei Aviv, a paternal sister. Eishes Achi Aviv, father's brother's wife. Eishes Achiv Emei Aviv, a brother's other brother died, she had been married to a brother who had children. That woman is an Erva forever. She could never marry neither of the brothers. And therefore it's impossible that Shimon would have a case of Yibum with any of those six Ervas. Because if his brother had a relationship, it wouldn't be a marriage. It's not a valid marriage. Rashi. Sheish Arayas. Yesh Chamuras Me'elu. Mal Chay Mishlehem. What is their severity? Shinesuas L'Acherim. They can only be married to others. Ve'eni Michaelu Midasim Acham Me'aviv. They cannot marry a paternal brother. If their husbands would die, who are not related, or not brothers, with the one who wants to marry the tzara, because it's not Yibum. It's not a case of brother's wife. Who are the six? Right, a mother, if it's Reuven's mother, it's Shimon's father's wife. V'chein Eisha Sa'av, V'achoy Sa'av, father's sister, V'achoy Sa'aviv, I did that, V'achoy Sa'mei Aviv, V'Eisha Sa'achiv Mei Aviv, Shoy Le'banim, V'Eisha Sa'achi Aviv, father's brother's wife, Kulan Asur Islachim Yaviv, Kshem Shasur Islachim. They're an erva to the deceased as much as they were erva to him, and therefore there was never a marriage. You can never have a case of Yibum. If they married other people and they had other wives, Mutaris Lanusel is that, because there's no Isser Tzaras Erva. Tzaras Erva is not its own Isser, it's only an Isser if it's a brother's wife. It's only if she fell to Yibum with the Erva. Shekiva Shaptura L'Tzaras Erva, since the Tzaras Erva has no mitzvah of Yibum, Amda Elamas B'Isser Eishes Ach Shesh Lebonim, so she becomes a brother's wife, who's an Erva. But if she's not a brother's wife, a Tzaras Erva is not an integral Erva. Stuck the Mishnah Vayter, and now we're going to learn something that turns the last 11 block upside down. B'Shamai Matirin HaTzaras L'Achim. B'Shamai does not agree to the Isser called Tzaras Erva. They don't agree to the Isser called Tzaras Erva. There is no such thing. They disagree with the whole 11 and a half lot that we had that discussed Tzaras. To Beishamai, it's a non-issue. Tzaras Erva is a mitzvah of Yibum. Means according to Beishamai, Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter and another wife, and Reuven dies, Shimon has a mitzvah of Yibum to the Tzaras Erva. He's allowed to do Yibum. Now, what we're setting up here is a machloikas and Beisil Aishrim and Beisil Asters. So what we're setting up over here is a major machloikas. Reuven dies, he has two wives. One is Shimon's daughter, one is a different wife. Beis Shammai makes it a mitzvah of Yibum. And Beisil says it's an Isser Karis. According to Beis Shammai, it's a mitzvah. According to Beisil, it is Karis. And there's huge consequences here. Because if somebody would do like Beis Shammai, and he would have a child, according to Beis Hillel, that child is a mamzer. That's a consequence. According to Beis Hillel, the brother would have done an Isser Karis, and that would be a mamzer. According to Beis Shammai, he would be doing a mitzvah of Yibum. And if he gave chalitza, according to Beis Shammai, she's a chalutza, she can't marry a kayan. Right? She received chalitza. According to Beis Hillel, the chalitza was a non-entity. It's a waste of time. She's mutter to marry a kohen. So the difference is here, this machloikas is a huge machloikas. Reuven died, had two wives. One was Shimon's daughter, one was a different wife. Beis Shammai says, the different wife is a regular yavama. You can be miyabim her, you can give her chalitza. And whatever happens to a regular yavama, happens to the tzaras erva. And Beis Hillel says, she's an iser karas. No chalitza necessary, and yibum is karas. If this tzara got chalitza, Beis Shammai paisel menakuna. Beis Shammai would say she's banned from marrying a kayan. Well, Beis Hillel machshirin, and Beis Hillel said she can't marry a kayan. The chalitza was a waste of time. Rashi, I don't know if it does have Rashi in the Yamed Aleph. Yeah, Beis Shammai, the bottom Rashi in the Yamed Aleph. Beis Shammai matirin tzaras erva l'siabim ochiv. The less lo have drasha the litzra. They don't agree to the drasha of litzra. Cholzu atzaras menachem. Beis Shammai paislam menakuna shechalitzasik shera, the chalitzas kasher. Ubeisu machshirim. Pishalitzasim shloy litzarech. It's an unnecessary chalitza. Vahiki chalitzas menachri. What would be if a woman did chalitza as a joke? It's a joke. It's not a chi of chalitza. It's not a chalitza. It's a joke. They played a game. They played the chalitza game. It's not a chalitza, and therefore she's not possible lakuna. Nisyabmu, Beisil Machshirim. Beshame Machshirim. Beshame says she can marry a kayan if she becomes widowed. She's not a zayna. She didn't do anything wrong. She had a mitzvah relationship. Ubeisil Paislam. And Beisil says she became a zayna. And in fact, what the Mishnah didn't speak out is according to Beis Hillel, the kid would be a mamzer. And according to Beis Hillel, Shammai, the kid would be a kosher kid. Rashi, the siyab mulachim, b'shamim machshir naisam lekahanim. She remains mutter to a kayan in the salmonum le yaveim. If the yavam would die, she can marry a kayan. She's a widow. She's a widow twice. But she's a widow. She can marry a kayan. Silu paislam, she nevalu l'asrlam. They had an illicit relationship. And any woman who has an illicit relationship with somebody who she can't marry, key word here, a relationship with a man she's not allowed to marry, asa zayna, vazayna sur lakuna. She became a zayna and she's not allowed to marry a kayan. Meaning, we will have this in the seventh parak of Yavamas. A girl who has an out-of-wedlock relationship with a man, if it's a man she's allowed to marry, it doesn't affect her status to kahuna. But if it's a man she's not allowed to marry, then she becomes a zayna. Zayna is a fact. It's not a moral issue now. It could have been a relationship against her will. Meaning, if a woman got forced into znus by a guy, right, she becomes a halachic zayna. We're not reflecting on her morals there. It's a fact. She had an illicit relationship with a man she's not allowed to marry. She becomes a zayna. So according to Beis Hillel, if the brother would do yibum, he committed an act of karis, and he turned the woman into a zayna. She had an illicit relationship. According to Beis Shammai, they did a mitzvah. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Yes, I'm happy somebody asked the question. I thought today I'd go through without any questions. Yes. Only the second wife, not the erva.
A regular
No, you cannot. No, Beis Shammai agrees. Bayis echad ubayna ve'im bayna shnei batim. Give him to one wife, not to two. One second. There's a drasha. There's a drasha we had back to about a half ago that said, "Bayis echad ubayna ve'im bayna shnei batim." Yibum was only to one of the wives, not to the second wife. There is no Yibum to two wives. Right? Nothing to do with Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is dealing with Tsaris Erva. That has nothing to do with Tsaris Erva. Beit Shammai says a Tsaris Erva is a regular woman of a brother's wife, and she's uninfected by the Erva. Doesn't agree that an Erva infects the Tsara. We learned it out from Litzrar. Beit Shammai does not hold of the drasha of Litzrar. That's what we're saying. Beit Shammai says, no drasha of Litzrar. No such drasha. And therefore, according to Beit Shammai, an erva does not infect her tzara. So forget about the erva, and the tzara is a regular mitzvah yibum. And if he did it, he got a mitzvah. And his children are kosher, 100% kosher Jews, according to Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai would say he committed Karis, and his kids are Mamzerim. Now that creates a major problem. Because if Beit Shammai would come to marry into Beit Shammai's families, now people that keep Beit Shammai, they might be marrying a Mamzer. Because in Beit Shammai's circles, this was fine. So Beit Shammai, now, people who keep Beis Hillel would have trouble marrying into people who keep Beis Shammai. Because, hello, it's a mamzer. The kid can be a mamzer. The opposite is true. If people that keep Beis Shammai want to marry a woman of Beis Hillel, she might have received chalitza, which according to Beis Shammai, or she might not have received anything, and she's a Yavama that needs to have chalitza or yibum. And according to Beis Hillel, she was left free. So then there might be either a lav of marrying a Yavama who wasn't dealt with. Because according to Beis Hillel, she's not a Yavama. So Beis Hillel didn't deal with her. They let her free. And Beit Shammai would say, hello, you have to do chalitza. So talk to Mishnah. Even though these Paiskim passed, Asert, and these said it's mutter. Elu paisla velu machshirim. These said that the woman becomes pasul and the kids are mamzerim. And the other one said, no, they're kosher kids. They trusted each other for full disclosure. Beis Shammai knew Beis Shammai's opinion, and therefore if a woman from Beis Shammai would be marrying into Beis Shammai's family, right? There would be full disclosure. Beis Hillel, to you, this is a mamzer. Don't marry her. Don't marry him. They trusted each other to respect each other's opinion and would not marry. Each one would tell the other to make sure that it would never happen that Beis Hillel would marry a mamzer according to Beis Shammai, which required keeping track because this could be three generations down. From a woman that received Yibum, the Tzara that received Yibum. And they would have to keep track to know that this family has to know they can't marry into Beis Hillel because they're Mamzerim. V'loi Beis Hillel be'Beis Shammai. Kol ha'tares v'tumas. She'elu m'tarem ve'elu m'tamem. Many machloikas in Thrushas, something is Tamei or Tar. Right. Le'nimnu eisen tares elu agabe elu. Again, that trust was there. If Beis Shammai is lending you something, that means Beis Shammai is saying it's good according to Beis Hillel as well. If not, they wouldn't lend it to Beis Hillel, and vice versa. They trusted each other not to give them something that they wouldn't use. Rashi. Zot Rashi.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Beis Shammai argues with the whole thing. So what's bothering me about on the first, this is Beisel, but Shammai says it's not true, this whole thing. That's my question. A lot of times you have in the Mishnah, Beisel says this, Beisel says that, right? Why over here don't you put his name in there, you know what I mean?
I don't have a good answer, except to say that the way I understand it is whoever organized the Mishnah Rabbeinu HaKadosh wanted to explain Tzara first. He wanted to explain Tzara. He spent the first Mishnah talking about Tzara's Erev and explaining what it is. Which Erev it applies to, how it works, what would be the case of Tzara's Erev, what would we do in case one, what we would do. After he finished explaining Tzara, he said, by the way, it's not accepted. Now you would have said, tell me first the machlokes b'shami b'sil, and then explain Tzara. That would you be...
You're right.
That's what you're saying.
I'm thinking that, you know, the first mission enough is already giving me a migraine, you know what I mean? So I should put b'shami in there also, you know what I mean? It's enough that I don't know, you know, it took my wife and myself weeks to understand the whole mission.
No, but you're saying is, what you're saying is the first Mishnah should be the second Mishnah, and the second Mishnah should be the first Mishnah. And you would get a migraine a little later.
I know. What I meant was add on, just put Beishamai, you know, what you say is part of sort of saying, you know, maybe somebody says, no, let's take it easy, and let's not overburden us.
Okay. But you have to admit, it's a shock to walk into Beishamai 11 and a half blot into the Masepta. Rashi. Rashi. B'shamim makshirin oisim l'kahanim im nis'almanu miveim. We did that. We did that already. Lo'y nimnu. Ava b'shabnei ha-tzarash nis'yabdu k'b'shamay. Even though the children of the tzarash that got yibam according to b'shamay, mamzerim heim l'b'shil, they are mamzerim to b'shil, shabi isra eishasachi aleim. Right? It's a brother's wife. V'eishasach b'karas. And there's no mitzv yibam. U'b'nei ha-rayish heim chai v'krisus mamzerim heim. And the offspring of chai v'krisus are mamzerim. Because I mean a Beperkin, like we said in the Perik. Later on. Why? They would inform them that these are children born from Tzaras, Uparshim. And again, I want to stress this. It's not so simple. First generation is easy. This can be 100 years later, theoretically. And Beishamai would have to remember that this person's great-grandmother received Yibum from a brother and she was a Tzaras Erva. That means her daughter was a Mamzeris, her granddaughter is a Mamzeris, her great-granddaughter is a Mamzeris. There can be like 15 children, all Mamzerisin who have 15 children. You have hundreds of Mamzerim according to Beisil. And Beishamai, this is theoretical because we'll see in the Gemara didn't happen really. And if hundreds of Mamzerim, and Beishamai has to keep track to tell Beisil, don't marry these families, don't marry these families are not for you, they're only for us. You have to do bookkeeping here. Uparshim. Elu agabe elu, elu mashilim kaleim leelu heilant kaleim to the other one. Fine. So this is the machlokes Beishamai and Beisil. So, we now have a new thing. We have to find out, why did Beishamai not darshan? Why did Beisil yes darshan? And that's what we're going to be talking about. What we're also going to be entering, and tomorrow or next week, is the concept of having Beishamai and Beisil two different things. We're very big on Klai Yisrael being unified. Now today, it's not Negeya, we have 55 minhagim. But in those days, there's a halacha that says, you're not allowed to have Agudas, Agudas. You can't have different tyrants, different halachas going on. It's either one way or the other way. Why isn't Beishamai and Beisil a problem of that? And that's what we're going to get involved in. And that's going to be the next two block to determine, is Beishamai and Beisil, why are they allowed to disagree, Lamaisa, and do differently? When we have a rule that Tyra has to be uniform. And that's going to be the discussion, which will continue tomorrow morning. Everybody should have an easy fast.